Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dev Accelerator Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. I have with me Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director, Mr. Parin Sheth, Joint Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Parthiv Panchal, Joint Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Anjan Trivedi, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Mr. Yash Shah, Non-Executive, Non-Independent Director. Before we proceed, I would like to bring to your attention that certain statements made during this discussion may constitute forward-looking statements. These statements are based on our current expectations, assumptions, and beliefs regarding future developments and are inherently subject to various risks, uncertainties, and factors beyond our control. Such forward-looking statements involve both known and unknown risks, and we advise you to interpret them with caution. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Uttamchandani.
Thank you so much for initiating the call. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to Dev Accelerator Limited earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and full year ended March 31st, 2026. I am assuming you all had the opportunity to review the audited results, the investor presentation, and the media release that we have shared with the stock exchanges. I'll start with this year's numbers. This year has been extremely meaningful for all of us at Dedex, as it completes the full financial year as a public listed entity. Our thesis of focusing on India's Tier 2 cities has now become the frontier for the entire country, not only from a real estate perspective, but also from other growth parameters. Tier 2 cities has played out in our numbers extremely well, and I would running through all of the numbers in the next 20-25 minutes. For the full year, FY26, our consolidated revenue has reached to a phenomenal outcome of 226 crores. That's an annualized growth of 32%, wherein our FY26 revenue was 159 crores. I'm sure a lot of people who are there on the call today, who have been monitoring and tracking us, during our pre-IPO roadshows, I had showcased the numbers of achieving an outcome of 225 crores, and today we have achieved 1 crore additional to what we had envisioned a year ago. Our consolidated EBITDA has come down to 109 crores, which is a margin of 48.4%. On a standalone basis, which is excluding our design and build company and technology company, it reflects a strong unit economics of our core managed workspace platform. The standalone numbers have increased 34% on an annualized basis, and we have achieved a phenomenal number of 171 crores for FY26. And our margin, EBITDA margin, has been achieved at 60.5%, which last year was 59.8%. Just to help you understand this amongst our peers who are listed as in the flexible workspace sector, this is one of the highest numbers to be achieved. The headline profitability that we have achieved in our standalone numbers at an IGAAP basis is extremely strong on core managed workspace operations. So normalized EBITDA for FY26 is 36.55 crores, which is 21.38% margin. At an industry parlance, 15-18% is assumed to be a better outcome. We have exceeded that industry peers as well. The normalized PBT has been achieved at a number of 20 crores, which is a staggering 13.23%. And this has been the second consecutive year when we have achieved a positive normalized profit before tax. which is supported by operating leverage from our matured centers and efficiencies that we have built in our operations. For the last quarter, the consolidated revenue stood at 59 crores. One of the key highlights of the fourth quarter has been the go live of our dream project of Capital One Campus on Amri Gopal Road. I still recall that we signed this asset back in 2022, wherein tier 2 cities were not looked upon as the frontiers for flexible office spaces. It is a 19-story building with 3.15 lakh square feet. That entire asset has been pre-leased by us with a 95% occupancy achieved even before going live. Immediately after we received business operations or the OC of the asset, the next month itself we had operations running in that premises. The asset is EBITDA positive from day one, and we would be achieving a revenue run rate of 2.65 to 2.75 crores per month. The revenue from this center would be reflecting in our books from Q1 FY27. Let me now elaborate a little bit on what we are actually building at JX, because the opportunity here is not just the quarterly report or the source, but is an entire platform that produces this number. India as a country today hosts 1800 global capability centers employing more than 1.6 million professionals. And this workforce is on track to cross 2 million professionals within the current calendar. Crucially, GCCs are now no longer confined to metros. Hiring in tier 2 cities is growing at a massive 21% year on year, because it gives them cost arbitrage of 35% over tier 1 cities on real estate and availability of a massive digitally skilled talent pool of 800,000 professionals. Today, India looks towards Bharat to achieve a $5 trillion economy of our Honorable Prime Minister by 2030. The Indian flexible workspace market has already crossed 100 million square feet of stock, and it is expected to reach $11.4 billion in valuation by 2030. This is a structural migration, and this probably ignites or starts the dream that we had thought of back in 2018 when we were starting JX. It is a deliberate choice to focus on tier 2 cities and create that as a strong foundation. While JX is focusing on operating managed office spaces in tier 2 cities, our real differentiating factor is in creating institutional grade supply in markets where land ownership is unorganized, fragmented, and non-institutional. Our proprietary landowner first development management model, which we had introduced a couple of years ago, partners us, that is JX, directly with non-institutional landowners. What we bring on the table for landowners is strong capability execution skill sets, technical specifications, construction discipline, GCC and institutional client relationships, and a confirmed demand over a longer period of time. This also gives landowners ownership of the assets for long-term basis, which in turn helps them to generate 30% higher returns as compared to traditional leasing arrangements. What JX builds for them is a grade A-plus asset, which is specifically designed for institutional clients, including GCCs. As JX, we are not putting the construction risk or the land risk onto our balance sheet. What we are committing is operational expertise and lease obligation against assets where we have already received a committed demand. This is one of the strong key moats for us. and it also solves the biggest constraint in the country, and specifically for institutional clients, working for office spaces, is the availability of grade A supply in tier 2 cities. The micro market called Ambli Bakery in Ahmedabad is an example how this model works at scale. In the entire last year, which is FY26, Bayrex has signed and secured approximately 15.75 lakh square feet of contracted space in one micro market. I'll break that down for you to understand. 3.15 lakh square feet at Capital One, wherein we have delivered that asset, achieved 95% occupancy levels even before going live. It has 4,000 seats, which is anchored by one of our largest clients, which has been with us since last 6 years, Manubhai & Shah. Typically, a similar size asset gets leased in 12 to 18 months of time frame. The single client, Manubhai & Shah, has contracted with us for basically a revenue of 100. The second asset is 8.1 lakh square feet, which also starts our development management journey in the city. We have committed an investment of 100 crores across 4 years, which will ultimately help us achieve an annualized revenue of 120 crores with 80% occupancy and 8,500 seats. Recently, that is last quarter, we also signed 4.5 lakh square feet called this, which is the most by every development of and the thing is two propositions. Three contracted assets, one single micro market, almost 60 lakh square feet in a single corridor. This is what we intend to build in other tier 2 cities as well. Identify certain corridors wherein we can grow stronger, which ultimately creates a challenge for our peers to enter that micro market. And this is 100% replicable as it is asset light for us. We have already started landowner conversations in multiple cities, in multiple tier 2 cities to say so. Indore, Jaipur, Surat, Baroda. These are few of the cities where we are already present. We understand the ecosystem strongly, and we now would be growing stronger in those micro markets. There will be few development management partnerships that we will be announcing in this FY27. Underpinning this strategic platform, I will run you through certain operating metrics that are the indicators of our revenue durability. On client side, 75% of our revenue comes from enterprise clients, which is on build-to-suit contracts. So typically, an enterprise client would come to us, share the requirements, and we would design and build their entire office right from scratch. Hence, we call it build-to-suit. 65% of our revenue comes from such nature of a contract. The client retention is unheard of. We have a 99.7% retention this year. Almost negligible 0.003% of churn that we achieved last year. Amongst our clients of 300 plus, the average locking that we have is of 34 months. One third of our clients, there is more than 100 clients with us, are present with us in multiple cities. So the revenue base is structurally contracted and not transactional in nature. The typical industry average of rent to revenue ratio is 2.2x in tier 1 cities. While the cities that we operate in, we have been able to achieve a rent to revenue ratio of 2.4x in FY26. On our subsidiaries, which is our design and build, Nebel and Thread, we were able to achieve a 52.3 crores revenue with 7.2% EBITDA margin. Just to help everyone recall, we started this company as a back office for Bayrex to build offices only for Bayrex. Since we were able to build processes and make it stronger, we now offer it as a full-fledged solution to external clients as well. And we were recently recognized as India's most futuristic interior design and build firm 2026, and a revenue of 52.3 crores. As an organization, we are extremely proud of this achievement. Our technology subsidiary, which is SaaS-Jo Solutions, continues to scale on providing recruitment, payroll, and HRMS solutions to our GCC clients, wherein we intend to position ourselves as a full-stack offering to our GCC leads that we interact with. It is also heartening to mention that as an organization, we were named Co-Working Startup of the Year at the Economic Times Entrepreneur Awards 2026 for the second consecutive year. We recently raised, our board recently approved a preferential issue of 35 crores, which was largely to fund the growth and take up of 4.5 lakh square feet with Winston as an asset. Out of this 35 crores, 15 crores has been subscribed directly by the promoter and promoter group to convertible warrants, and additional 20 crores coming in from non-promoter investors. The promoter participation is a clear signal of our internal conviction in the asset and the corridor strategy that we are building up. Q1 FY27, we are anticipating a significant capital event through monetization of our holding in one of our subsidiaries, where we are building almost 500,000 square feet. That capital event would result into a liquidity of 110 to 120 crores within the weeks. Largely, the priority of utilization of the funds would be to accelerate growth across the country and build similar corridors like Amli Bhopal in at least 4 to 5 cities across the nation, establish development management partnerships with landowners based in tier 2 cities so that it can strengthen our future supply, and obviously strengthen our balance sheet. The board has also approved a non-convertible debenture issuance at a project level to further optimize our financing mix. To help you on an outlook of FY27 and FY28, we are planning to invest roughly 200 to 225 crores in the next 2 years of time. It technically would empower us to reach from current 1.2 million square feet to 2 million square feet of operational area by FY28. The substantial portion of this capacity that is getting added in our books is already contracted from the demand side as well as from the supply side, which has a mix of ready-to-use and development management partnerships that we are finding them. FY26 has been the year Davex transitioned from a flexible workspace operator in Tier 2 city to becoming an institutional infrastructure platform. For the GCC migration and institutional migration into Tier 2 cities, we have delivered our highest revenue, our highest margins in the last 8 years of our journey, in the largest contract not only in the company's history but also across the industry history by contracting 8.5 lakh square feet of single managed office space asset. And this is just getting started. This is first year of full operational entity as a public listed company. We are not compromising on unit economics, neither on balance sheet quality. With this business model, we believe we are well positioned to capitalize on the upcoming opportunities and the future scale-up. I thank you everybody for your continued support. I will now open up the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The The first question comes from the line of Urmisha from Moneywiser. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yeah. So my question is on the mature occupancy first. In FY26, we saw a very steep decline because we have maintained the range of plus 90s, and in FY26 we are at 70. So, and also the occupied seats have gone on the lower side or have been stagnant. So could you just give some color on that?
Your
voice is cracking.
I just wanted to give you the understanding about the maturity centers. Earlier, whatever number we have presented in the investor presentation, where we are presenting the occupancy understanding is more than 85% of the across all the centers. That's why we consider a mature center. But then now, considering the operational efficiency and we consider and putting a benchmark at a higher level, so basically, we say that the 100% occupancy is the higher benchmark for the business. So, considering the 70% mature centers, like we are saying that out of whatever area we are managing, like 0.83 million square feet, 70% of all the centers are achieving 100% occupancy. So, basically, we don't want to change the previous numbers. That's why we see the dip in the occupancy percentage in a mature center.
Then, sir, why were you considering 85% before?
So, in the industry, all other players, so maybe basically 85% is the right metric where we generate the more revenues and more than break even. So, that's why in earlier we have understood in entire discussion like 85% is the right benchmark and the right metrics to evaluate the business. But then we also see that if we can also achieve more than 85%, that is good for the business. So that's why we keeping our benchmark high. So that's why we updating the numbers at a mature center.
Okay. And you know, if I see quarter four numbers on a consolidated basis, year on year our revenue has gone down a bit and also the margins. So, and how do you see the industry outlook going forward for FY27? So, you know, will these margins be sustained or will we be back on FY25 margins?
So, if you dig down in the numbers, as a standalone metric, the numbers are not good. In fact, the margins are slightly improved as well. Across the year, if you see, we have been able to achieve a higher margin number as compared to the previous year. So just to contextually help you, we have achieved a revenue of 170 crores at a standalone basis.
So I am talking about quarter four year on year. I am not talking about the full year.
So quarter four year, we achieved a revenue of 50 crores. You are comparing that with previous year or this year?
I am comparing quarter 4 FY26 to quarter 4 FY25. On standalone basis, I'm talking about EBITDA margin, sir. Obviously, the drop has been there, but it's flat, but I just wanted to know the reason.
So, there has been a dip in the revenue compared to last quarter, because one of the assets that we were operating in Noida, that we had closed down, and that was the primary reason why the dip of that revenue comes in on compared to previous quarter.
Okay.
On the EBITDA percentage, we are almost kind of achieving the similar outcome.
Right. So why was the Noida asset shut down?
The Noida asset was typically operated by a landowner which was going through a very difficult phase. And the common area maintenance was their responsibility. And the asset was not being able to maintain or manage by them. And we were not happy with the services that were being rendered to us. So there were instances when the elevators were getting stopped on a recurring basis. The ACs, the systems from where the ACs were being powered, they were not being serviced and maintained in a right full manner. So we were extremely unhappy with the services. And that was the primary reason why we had to close down the center.
Okay. and as brokerage as a percentage of revenue from ops has also been a bit on the lower side compared to FY25, if I see that correctly.
Correct. So, typically in our business, typically in our business, when we take up a new center, that is the time when we see higher amount of quantum of brokerages kind of getting registered. Last 6 months largely has been delivery of the centers that we have already contracted earlier. So the conviction of me saying a revenue number 6-7 months before was largely coming up because of the pre-quoted agreement with the client. And for those, brokerages were already paid beforehand. Having said that, our brokerage's payout is way better as per industry standards because 65% of our leasing in Gujarat happens directly, while 35% of revenue comes from brokerages. When it comes outside Gujarat, we have a 50-50 ratio, wherein 50% of our client comes directly and 50% comes from the brokerage or channel partners.
Right. So one question before I join back, how do you see the industry going forward? You know, obviously we are not directly impacted by the geopolitical situation, but the government calling for work from home again and things like that. So do you see certain shift in the industry, or how do you foresee the? I mean, just as an outlook.
Sure. So I've always been sharing on these lines that whatever we see with respect to digital payments, the UPI number that has kind of extrapolated in the recent years, the credit goes to demonetization and COVID. The adoption of technology from all users came largely because of these two primary drivers. The same thing what demonetization did for digital payment gateway is what COVID has done, or hybrid work culture has done, for flexible office spaces. Geopolitical tensions obviously should curtail down. It is extremely not the right situation for the country and the world to be. We are obviously standing strong against those measures, but it is definitely acting as an advantage for the entire sector and the industry. The moment the hybrid culture becomes much more prominent, much more better and much more adopted, the better it is for the flexible office space sector overall. Because I'll cite an example. One of our biggest clients, I cannot name the client because of the contractual agreement, but one of the Fortune 500 companies which is sitting with us in Jaipur, they have 485 people that are working from that city. The number of seats that they have signed up with us is 240. So they are almost having one seat for two people that are working in that city. So it gives them the flexibility to design their workplace which can accommodate hybrid culture. So what we actually empower that. So tomorrow any organization wants to inculcate a hybrid work culture, we give them our technology access, wherein each individual that is working in the office gets to pre-book a seat and then come to office. So that empowers the organization as well to enable people to come to offices on few days of the week. And that is where the power of flexible workspace comes into picture.
Okay, sir, that helps. I'll join back to you for further questions. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you must press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Aniket Vade, an individual investor. Please.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, I have a few questions. Can you share the contribution from the enterprise clients versus the startup client contribution?
So, we have 65% of our revenue coming in from enterprise clients, wherein the average lock-in is 34 months.
Okay. And what about the startup plan?
And these are all built to suit. So, in our client profile or client mix, all the enterprise clients that we have, wherein we do built to suit, we have almost negligible exposure in the startup sector. We do have startups using our offices, but that is largely on the co-working side, which is contributing 15% of our revenue.
Okay, okay. So, just to compare with the both, most of the demand is from the enterprise client only.
Right. Enterprise, institutional clients, and GCCs.
And sir, what is the trend in the seat addition and occupancy during the FY26, and what is our target for FY27?
What is the trend in FY26?
Yes, yes. In terms of seat addition and occupancy.
So we were 13,500 seats in FY26, wherein 4,000 seats got added in last quarter, that is quarter 4 FY26, but the revenue would be coming in Q1 27. So today, if you ask me, we are at 17,500 seats.
Okay, 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 got it, got it. And sir, just to try to more on this Bangalore related. So earlier we had mentioned that the expansion plans about the new centers, including the Bangalore. So can you throw some light on it?
Sure.
In terms of the rollout and expected traffic.
Absolutely. So we have a healthy mix of our expansion in Tier 2 cities and Tier 1 cities. Our Tier 2 city proposition is having a presence of 65% of our portfolio, and Tier 1 cities we have a exposure of 35%. On the same line, just to balance that portfolio, we have added 1.1 lakh square feet of area in Bangalore. Actually, we have partnered with one of the largest developers there, which is called Prestige. We have partnered with them, and we have taken up two assets from them on Outer Ring Road. So, just to contextually help everybody understand, Outer Ring Road is where 40% of the entire leasing happens in Bangalore. Bangalore does 22 million square feet of leasing on an annual basis. So technically 10 million square feet gets leased on a year-on-year basis just in that stretch of Outer Ring Road.
Okay, okay, got it, got it. And sir, one last question. As we raise the fund through this NCD, so what is the intended utilization of this fund, and how are we going to use this?
Sure. So we are actually planning for an investment of total 220 to 230 odd crores. The breakup of this is three phases. One, we have taken a board approval for 100 crores of NCDs. We are expecting a liquidity event of 110 to 120 crores from the proceeds of seven assets and the preferential allotment of 35 crores.
Okay.
Right, so that total investment would be deployed across 2 years of time frame from the current 1.2 million square feet, which is FY26 being 0.84 million square feet and an additional of 0.3 million square feet with capital one, that is 1.2 million square feet. From here on, we intend to add additional 3 million square feet with this extra liquidity of, with this extra capital infusion of 220 to 230 crores.
Okay, okay, got it, got it. And sir, are you seeing any pricing pressure or increased competition from such free operating markets?
On the demand side, we are not seeing any pressure.
Okay.
On the supply side, there was certain crunch of critical supply chain or probably value chain products. Like for a short period, the availability of tiles was not there because of availability of gas and our suppliers kind of not operating during that period. But now the supply chain seems to be, streamlined. We have availability of labor as well on site. and all the raw material which was there is now accessible.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Nikita Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. Sir, one is, how much contribution is expected from our non-coal businesses like needle and thread and fire joy over the next 2 to 3 years?
So in terms of revenue, there are contributors roughly around 20-25% towards the revenue. But I will not probably categorize them in non-core domain because both entities kind of play a very strategic role in the journey that we are kind of creating for ourselves. So design and build entity, Needle and Thread, plays a very pivotal role in giving commitment to our end clients that we would deliver their office from day one to the days when they enter the office, anywhere between 75 to 90 days of time frame. So that commitment or that conviction to commit within that time frame comes because of the resources that we have built, the processes that we have created in the last 4 years of time frame. Second, going forward and currently as well, GCCs are now becoming a very strong contributor to office-based leasing in India. And to attract GCCs, we need to be a full-fledged solution provider. And that is where the other subsidiaries start their solutions plays a role. So the recruitment, payroll, technology stack, all of that offering comes under that umbrella. So both the subsidiaries play a very pivotal role in ensuring or probably defining as to what we intend to achieve in the next couple of years.
Okay, sir. I think.
Is that correctly?
Yeah. Okay. Sir, I have one more question. Can you explain the economies of development management model versus the straight lease?
I think this helps me to address the model that we are extremely proud of. So one fundamental challenge that our country has today in tier 2 cities specifically is the unavailability of institutional grade supply. So when a larger enterprise client comes to any tier 2 city, they literally feel that they do not belong here because the quality of supply, quality of assets that are available here and not to the status that they are used to operating from. And we identified this challenge. So what we are doing here is we partner with landowners, tell them that we would be leasing this asset, we would be bringing in clients, it is our commitment to bring in the client. However, the infusion of capital to build the asset is to be done by the landowners. So we charge them a fee for managing and designing that asset. The revenue that we generate is a per square feet revenue which ranges anywhere between 300 rupees to 500 rupees per square feet, which spans across 2 years to 4 years of time frame. So if I'm building an asset of let's say 4 lakh square feet, my revenue at the books of DREX would be anywhere between 12 crores to 20 crores. That is what our fees would be to the landowner. And the landowner would be contractually minded to invest for building an asset which is grade A plus quality, which is pertaining to certain specifications of technical abilities and even building a green building asset.
Okay, sir. I think that was great. It answers my question and thank you, sir, so much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you must press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Sana, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have few questions on the
question.
Sir, can you please tell us if the margins will remain stable if the company accelerates expansion into newer cities?
I think that's a very interesting question. Internally, as promoters, we kind of keep on discussing this. So, fundamentally, when we started this company, we achieved the profitability in first year itself. With scale, we realized that till this point, we have been extremely hands-on into doing things. The next wave of growth, that is from this 1.2 million square feet to adding more 3 million square feet in the next 2 years of time, will obviously be requiring more brains and more leadership team in the system. The moment that comes in, it can result into two outcomes. Either it becomes way efficient than we have to be there earlier, or probably we lose out on track and there arises some leakages in the system. The other option becomes a probability if we as promoters are not hands-on. Our daily time in our personal life is coming to office at morning 10, 10:30 and leaving the office to my visit. Is this better? Can you hear me now? Am I audible?
Ms. Sana, can you hear the speaker?
Am I audible to you?
Ms. Sana, can you hear? Since there is no reply from the line, Ms. Sana will move to the next participant.
Sure.
The next question comes from the line of Vikrant Sahu with RK Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, I just have two questions. Like, how much free cash flow generation do we expect in FY27?
How much?
Free cash flow generation do we expect in FY27?
So, if you see, I mean, the core, strength of the business is the fact that the availability of free cash flow empowers us to kind of scale rampantly. So the cash EBIT item that you see in our books that is ranging between 21 to 22% has been very steady since last couple of years. So next year, at a revenue run rate of 330 to 350 crores, we expect to have a cash EBIT of 21 to 22%.
And one more question I have, like how scalable and replicable is the Amboli Bhopal development model across other key cities and micro markets?
Well, that is actually what we are trying to do right now. So the journey that we live in every city is between 2 years to 4 years of time. Okay? So let's take an hypothetical example of Jaipur. Today in Jaipur we are almost 1.2 lakh square feet of area which is operational. We have spent 3 years in the city. In these 3 years, we have identified who all are our vendors, who can be the developers that we partner with, and what is the probable list of clientele that we can cater to. Once we establish this understanding in the system, the next step is to build what we have built in at Amnibutal. So we would start growing vertically in all those cities when we are present beyond 2 to 3 years of time frame.
Okay, sir. And one more question. And like, what are the management's top three priorities for FY27?
The first and foremost priority is to bring in senior leadership team at multiple city level so that we can kind of build autonomous growth across the organization but driven from those specific cities. That's the first agenda. Second is to become AI native in nature. So currently we are building and developing a lot of micro tools which are helping us increase our productivity. We in fact hosted an AI hackathon for our internal team members, wherein the entire team participated and they came up with solutions that we had never thought of. So the objective in the next 1 year would be to become complete AI native and build certain processes which can scale massively. That's second. And third is identify at least 5 to 7 lakh square feet of projects under development management model in the next 12 months of time. These are three priorities I would say so far.
Mm-hmm. Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you must press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Arvind Singh with Mantra Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, how are you, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. I can hear you.
Sir, good afternoon. My question is on the broader terms, like there's a lot of talking about the IT services are replaced by AI. So, how do you see this trend in terms of the real estate? Like, majority of the occupancy is driven by the IT industry. So, how do you see this trend?
Correct. I fully resonate with this question. In fact, there was one of the fear that was in our brains probably 5-6 months ago when AI was kind of becoming very famous. What we did was we started speaking with all our existing clients to pick up their brains and understand as to what are they thinking on the lines of what AI is doing. What we ultimately realized, all the knowledge that is happening outside these companies, wherein IT companies stocks being bashed out, their news wherein larger IT companies are relieving people, all this negative news, what is getting created as noise, when we spoke with these companies internally, because they use our offices daily, and we don't see any churn within them, when we had a good elongated conversation with them, what we realized is that earlier they used to, let's say, target 15 industries. Now they are able to have conversations with at least 30-35 industries. Second, the projects that they used to take and deliver in a time frame of 18 to 24 months, now they are able to deliver those projects in 9 to 12 months of time frame. So ultimately what we are sensing and what they are echoing is in the next 15 to 24 months of time frame, their margins are going to shoot up drastically than what has happened in the last decade. Their productivity is going to blast out. Sorry, you were saying something?
Okay. Yes, sir. Much appreciated your response. But, sir, you have said correctly they have a lot of productivity gain. But my issue is this, if we look at the data, then the number of addition of the job has subdued, or I think it has degrown in the IT industry. So it will impact one way or other way the occupancy and the real estate area required for the IT industry. So that's the point I want to know. Number of
on that only I'm asking. Since the productivity is increasing, they are bound to add more number of people. What we are witnessing, so you create a funnel in your brain, which is an open-ended funnel, right? On one side, there is an influx of talent which was pushed in, let's say in 2020-2021, when there was massive outburst of projects that all these IT companies got. So now this entire tunnel is stacked with people. Now suddenly AI comes in. The projects are already there, right? The business is there. Now this tunnel needs to be filled in with people who are extremely adaptive on AI technologies. If those set of people which are in this tunnel are not adopting the technology, they will be kind of moved out of the tunnel, but they would mandatorily be replaced by people who understand using the technologies which are currently required. So to answer your question, is real estate going down the drain because of talent pool being fired by these IT companies and that sector being one of the largest consumers of real estate? I think it is the other way around. That funnel or the tunnel that I'm referring to needs to be packed in with more number of people. It is probably getting drained by a set of people who are not able to adopt the newer technologies.
Okay, great. But sir, I think I have a data point that TCS and other big firms are having less and less from the campus recruitment. So that's the point I want to highlight, Malab, if you can.
Yes, we all have the data point. Times of India had this news published of the newspaper wherein India, from the top 5 IT-ITS companies, hired 1,500 net new people in the last year. Then somebody fired 11,000 people, somebody hired 4,000 people, somebody fired 10,000 people, and all that stuff. So that is, I mean, I am addressing that point only. Sir, you need to create that tunnel in your brain right now. Imagine a pipe, a water pipe, right, wherein the water is flowing. Till this point, the end point was chopped up, so there was, the entire pipe was filled with water. Today, the end point is opened up and the new influx of water is being put into that pipe. What eventually would happen is that pipe would be filled with water which can understand what these newer technologies are. It cannot be a fact that we continue with individuals, people in the system which are not able to or not willing to retrain themselves.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Business has, sir. Business has to take a role changing in this. So that is a mandatory also.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Atul Daga with Daga Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats. Just two questions. What are the milestones should investors track over the next 4 quarters?
As I said, sir, before IPO, I fondly remember during the roadshows, I was kind of sharing as to what has been signed by us, and we forecasted a revenue of 225 crores. Today, by God's grace, we have been able to achieve 226 crores of revenue. In our business, there is certain predictability as well. So for the next 2 years, what you need to track us is how much we are adding in terms of the supply that we are committing today. So if I'm committing a 3 million square feet of area in the next 2 years of time frame, how much are we adding on a quarter-on-quarter basis? And probably, where are we on that supply which we have signed up? That's one. Second, the demand that has been contracted for all these 3 million square feet, the moment this supply gets ready, are the clients that we have signed up ready to consume that supply at the same time? Or is there a gap in that? So that's the second thing that you should track up on. The third thing, as a shareholder, what is the leadership team that I am building in the next 2 years of time frame? I think that is the third most critical aspect that I should be monitored on. And certain fundamental things, am I ensuring that my cash limit remains in the range of 20 to 22%? Am I ensuring that my rent to revenue ratio is more than 2.2x? And am I ensuring that my debt to equity ratio is less than 1? And these are some of the hygiene things that I should be, tracked upon.
Got it, sir. Got it.
Did I listen? Yeah.
Yes. The second question that I had was, does management expect FY27 to be more, back-end loaded in terms of revenue recognition?
Back-end loaded?
Hello?
Sorry, the question was, sir, will the management expect back-end loaded revenue in FY27?
In terms of revenue recognition, how do you see that for the year 27?
So you have to help me with the term back-end loaded.
Can you specify how the revenue recognition is going to differ from FY26, FY27?
So, for the first 2 quarters this year, we can expect the revenue to be coming in from a couple of assets that were in pipeline, which is Capital One and Million Minds and one asset in Pune. So the first two quarters would have revenue recognized from these few assets. There are few other assets which are in pipeline which can be going live in the quarter three. So that quarter I am assuming to be slightly slower in terms of newer revenue to be added. But these two quarters would definitely be pumped up with new addition of revenue. And last quarter would again get pumped up with the delivery of 500,000 square feet of asset in Ahmedabad. So that is how currently I would break it up with respect to revenue that we are forecasting.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you must press star and one for the question. Next question comes from the line of Viraj Shah with Tyco Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hey, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So most of my questions have been answered. I just have one question. The revenue that we are projecting for FY27, 330 crores to 350 crores. So can we expect that the majority of the growth over FY26 will be coming from the Capital One center, the remaining capacity that is required, that is pending to be utilized?
Oh, no, sir. So Capital One would be contributing 0.3 million square feet. That is, I mean, on a revenue terms, it's anywhere between 2.6 to 2.75 crores monthly. But on top of that, in the coming three quarters, there are at least four or five assets which are going live. There's one asset on Vaishno Devi, which is Million Minds, which was recently inaugurated by our Honorable Home Minister. We have 84,000 square feet there. Then we have 40,000 square feet in Pune. We have 500,000 square feet going live in the last quarter of this year in Ahmedabad. Then we have other 3-4 assets which are on the verge of kind of getting signed up, which are demand backed, which I'm sure at least couple of them would materialize in the next couple of quarters. And so this is in terms of the existing contractual demand and supply. Then we have just the supply, which is 110,000 square feet that we have signed up with Prestige, that would start the fit outs from 1st of June. So we can expect the revenue in the month of August, mid or end. Then we have 2 lakh square feet coming up in Pune. The position that we will get up, that is in September or October. So we can expect the revenue to start hitting in the books in the month of January. So there's a strong pipeline that is kind of coming up. Capital One probably I'm assuming would be just like 20-25% of the future supply that's coming up.
Noted. Okay. That was helpful. And sir, what would be the approximate interest rate that would be charging on the issuance of the debentures?
Sorry, what would be the?
What would be the interest rate that would charge on the
cost of?
For the, cost for the debentures.
We're looking to kind of issue debentures in the range of 11-12%.
Okay, sir. And by when can we see the impact of this coming?
So we are earmarking a total issue of 100 crores. We would be issuing those credentials as and when we are ready with the property.
Okay. All right, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director, Dev Accelerator Limited, for closing comments.
First of all, thank you so much everybody for joining us today and sharing your questions with us. It gives us strong confidence when our shareholders are actively participating in our growth story. our focus absolutely remains on ensuring that we are generating value for all our stakeholders. Thank you so much for joining on the call again.
Thank you. On behalf of Dave Accelerator Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.